And Father, we just lift our hands of surrender to You. We say thank You. Thank You. We have tried in our own strength and have failed over and over and over. And without You, we're nothing. And we ask for Your forgiveness of every area where we've touched unclean things, come in agreement with the voice of the stranger, sin, transgression, iniquities, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, outward rebellion, Lord. Lord, not taking our walk with You serious enough, calling it a common thing. Lord, have mercy upon us. Wash us with the blood, purge us with Your presence, fill us with Your Spirit that we may be one with You. As we welcome You, Holy Spirit, come. Come and bring Your conviction. Bring Your counsel, correction, and direction. Open our eyes to see You, our ears to hear You, and our heart to receive what Your Spirit says. Place us. Place us according to Your will and not our own. Place us, Lord, according to Your will, not according to finances. Place us, Lord, according to Your will, not upon a label. Lord, place us according to Your will and not our own. And be glorified in everything, everything that we do. Refresh us. Break the yokes. Break the yokes off of us, Lord. As Your word goes forth to each and every one in this room, that by the stripes of Jesus, everybody be made whole in spirit, soul, and body, and mind. And touch us afresh, Your Master. Touch us afresh. Change us. Change us. Change us. To be more like You, in Jesus' name. We pray for this country. We pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We ask, Father, please have mercy upon us. Rescue Your nations. Draw them unto You. Protect them. Deliver them. Heal them. Establish them. Perfect them. And put a guard over them. Let Israel be known to the world that no weapon formed against her shall prosper. And let the world know that America, no weapon formed against her shall prosper. And that this country will come to true repentance and turn from its wicked ways to serve the living God and to bring glory to the name above all names, Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, and it's a good day to die to yourself. Glory to God. Would you turn to Matthew 25 for a moment, please? We completed the series, Enemies of God. There's four CDs in here. It's powerful, just to let you know. Don't be an enemy of God. Matthew 25. Is everybody there? And verse 1. Read it with me. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins. And the reason why it's virgins is because they've been washed by the blood. Who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now you know that this has to be about end times. Because we know that the bridegroom was coming, right? For his bride. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet them." Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to go buy, the bridegroom came, and all those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Surely I say to you, I do not know you." Now, this is very powerful, and there's multiple meanings in this scripture, but there's one specifically that I was quickened to this morning, and that is that there is going to be a time when there is not time to minister to the body of Christ. In other words, there's going to be a time when you can't minister to the body of Christ anymore. There's no time. The only time there is to rescue the lost. Does everybody understand this? There's going to, and I'm telling you right now, I can taste it. I can taste it. We are so close to it that there's going to be a time where you won't be able to minister to the body. You'll be just out rescuing the lost. That's what the scripture is talking about also. Why? Because those who are lost have no chance of making it. Has everybody got it? And you want to be wise. So you want to stay filled with the Spirit of God. And by staying filled with the Spirit of God, that means staying in fellowship, worshiping. And then it's time to go, you go. You go out. But in this, it's a time of learning. It's training for reigning. It's God is preparing us. But I'm sharing with you right now that there is an alert. There is an alert. This is not a blue special at Kmart. It's alert. There's not a sale going on. There's a soul going on. And we are, you know, when there are statuses in the military, you know, there's like, they call DEFCON and all this other stuff, you know, but there's like a yellow alert or red alert. And there are levels of warnings. And I'm telling you that we have been in a yellow alert and getting ready to hit red alert. And this scripture is about to be fulfilled very shortly. Is everybody with me? That's why we're here. Go to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 26. Let's try Hebrews 10, 26. I'm sorry. Hebrews 10, 26. For if we sin willfully, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. In other words, if you choose to go out and serve the devil, there's no longer a sacrifice. And who you serve when you die is where you go. So in this, until we come to repentance and that sacrifice is reestablished. But an individual that willfully goes out and sins. Now sin is associated with the presence of evil. Associate themselves with the presence of evil. There is no sacrifice while you're involved in it. There's no rescue until you come to repentance. Is everybody with me? Now look at verse 27. But a what? Certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' laws dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Aren't you glad you're not under Moses' law anymore? Half of us wouldn't be here. Or maybe all of us, I guess. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. Now this is powerful. In other words, the blood of covenant. In other words, an individual considers it a common thing. Doesn't even consider it. Loses the reverence or the fear of God. Loses the revelation of the price that Jesus paid for him. And willfully goes out and breaks covenant. Insults the Spirit of grace. So by calling the blood of the covenant a common thing, you insult the Spirit of grace. Does everybody get this? In other words, people take things nonchalantly. Things are becoming common to individuals. And the reverence and fear of God is being lifted from individuals because they're counting things as a common. Just doing whatever. Oh, Lord, the Lord will forgive me. I'll be okay. Sorry. We're coming to the end of those things. Coming to the end. God is drawing his people and calling his people from the north, south, east, and west. Time is running out. We are almost on red alert if we haven't touched it yet. There is an alert going on. Now listen, losing the respect or reverence of the price that Christ bought us and brought to us his promises. Some of his promises was a new birth, eternal life, victory, abundant life. But these things do not come unless you are following the grace of God or God's plan. So he says, insulting the Spirit of grace. In other words, you're insulting his plan. You're insulting his what? His plan to rescue us and to fulfill his will that his promises can be settled in us and through us. This should be a red alert. This is a sin against the Spirit. Everybody say sin against the Spirit. Now let me share with you, in the areas of red alert, that means battle time. When there's a yellow alert, it means you keep looking for where you're going to go battle. But red alert is battle time. And we are in between yellow and red alert right now. We know that we're in a battle every day. But there is an urgency that's happening right now, big time. And one of the things we do not want to do is sin against the Spirit. Go to Matthew 3. Matthew chapter 3. Would you mind going to Mark 3? How about Luke 3? No, I want Mark 3. Verse 28. Would you read it with me? Assuredly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men, and whatever blasphemies they may utter. But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation, because they said he is an unclean spirit. Now listen, in this, the true blasphemy of the Holy Spirit where there's no forgiveness is the area where an individual rejects salvation and dies. That is called blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It's where an individual rejects salvation and dies. Now, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can insult the Holy Spirit. But there's an area where an individual can grieve and insult or offend the Holy Spirit, yet come to repentance and get reestablished with the Holy Spirit. Are you listening? But the end result is when a person rejects salvation and dies, that is blaspheme of the Holy Spirit, because he is the Spirit of grace who brings the plan of escape. If you reject the plan of escape, you have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? But can somebody still sin against the Spirit? Yes. Is rebellion sin against the Spirit? Is disobedience sin? Is lawlessness sin? Yes, it is. All of those things are sin against the Spirit. But there is an advocate, Jesus, who's paid the price for me and you so that we can be rescued. When you do what? Come to repentance. Now, you got to step back and begin to look at what's going on in the world. Things are not getting better, are they? Things are getting worse. Evil's getting worse. Righteousness is rising, but wickedness is also rising. It's like that narrow gate, that narrow pathway is getting more narrow, more narrow. Things are getting difficult. Your fight today is harder than it was yesterday, and it's easier than it will be tomorrow. That's why God is calling. There's an alert going on right now. And there's a warning going out. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Yes, for it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Look at this. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is 8 souls, were saved through water. So there was only 8 souls saved. The rest went to hell. That's a lot, isn't it? Think about the promised land. How many made it to the promised land? 2. 2 of the originals out of millions made it to the promised land because of rebellion. And that's what's happening right now. See, you look around, you look to your neighbors, you look all around where you work, and you'll see rebellion. You can actually see demonic spirits grabbing hold of individuals in their life. Things are not getting better. And we must be prepared to warn, to rescue. to lay down your agenda and pick up the agenda of the Lord. It's time to grow up. It's time to mature. It's time to get your eyes off your little self. And what about me? Me needs to die. And the you needs to grow up. Hallelujah. John 6. John chapter 6. You know, it's amazing in how the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the things he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, one of the first things he does is in the area of removing the reverence of God in an individual's life. The fear of the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord is established by always having God in front of you. No matter what you do, the Lord stands in front of you. David said, I always see the Lord before me. See, you and I as believers being filled with the Spirit of God should always acknowledge the Lord in front of you in everything you do. Everything you do. Yeah, I remember the Lord saying to me one day, you know, guy, there isn't anything I've not seen. I thought, yeah, you know what? I mean, because, you know, I'll be at a place somewhere and somebody will be cussing or doing something. And it's like, man, you know what? It's like, and the Lord says, you know, there isn't anything I've not heard or have not seen. See, so when God sends you somewhere, that shouldn't affect you. But if you're not being sent by God, it will. Are you listening? You know, there's things before our eyes all the time. You can drive to the corner of a store and see a half-naked woman trying to sell a car or something, you know. There's lust all over the place. There's promotion of alcohol and drugs and everything else everywhere. But just because you see it doesn't mean it should affect you. See, it's when you begin to ponder on it. Why? Because the powers of darkness are trying to bring things common to us and compromise and draw us from the fear of the Lord, where we begin to fight for our life and not the life of Christ. And it's happening all over. And the body of Christ is on alert right now to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We are in the days where there's more trickery going on and more demonic forces going on. More evil going. You know, you got to think about something. What about communication? You know, think about this for a second. Kids spend more time on the cell phone than they ever have. Whether it be texting, videos, computers, whatever. Well, you know, and don't get me wrong. Some of it is okay. But when people live on it, that's where their amusement is. There's something not right. See, we've got to learn how to take our time accordingly. There's no, and don't get me wrong. It's okay to rest and play and have fun and whatever. But then there's a time where there's a boundary to everything. There is a borderline. And if you cross it over, then you begin to open yourself to demonic activity and not even realize it. And the next thing you find yourself lazy. You compromise. You rebel. Woe is me and everything else. Everybody understand? See, so the alert is going out. The alert is going out big time all over. The alert is going out. For what? Because God is coming for his church. Jesus is getting ready. There's things about to happen in this country like never before. You're already seeing little bits and pieces of it in the economy, aren't you? Come on, look at all the layoffs. Look at all the things that are. You can't ignore that and put that underneath the rug and say, oh, things are going to get better. You know, there was a prophet called Eli. And he was one of the prophets of the Lord. In fact, Samuel was under the authority of Eli. And young Samuel got a message from the Lord to tell Eli, tighten up. Straighten your house up. Get it in order. Your kids are out of order, Eli. And Eli took it as a common thing. And you know what happened to him? He died. He broke his neck. His kids were killed. And they took the Ark of the Covenant from Israel. That was the presence of God that was protecting them. See, it's time to tighten up. It's time to be on alert to get things right. Don't be men pleasers, be God pleasers. Sever those emotional attachments. I don't care who it's with. Your mother, your sister, your brother, your wives, your husbands, whatever it is. Don't let anything interfere with the will of God. Right now, We are in critical, critical time. Everybody all right? Good. Let's go to John 6, 63. Come on, read it with me. It is the Spirit that what? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. I love this. The words that I speak, he says, are spirit, and they are what? That's why man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because it is life. It is what? Life. It's amazing how many believers say they're believers and don't read the Bible. How they know the guidelines. Well, I do what I feel like. Well, you're an idiot. Because you can't do what you feel like. That's not what it's about. Well, I memorize some of the Bible. No. The words are life. What we're hearing today is life. Why? Because it's changing. It's convicting. It's life. It's from a spirit. It's not from a man. It's from the spirit. It's different. It exposes. Is everybody okay? And then Jesus said, but there are some of you who don't believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were and who did not believe and who would what? Betray him. Oh. How many of y'all want to betray? I didn't see any hands. Good. The word believe means to follow. Follow. You know, you don't betray man, you betray God. People think that they betray man. No, you're not betraying a man. You betray God. He's the one that establishes things, not us. Unless the Lord builds a house, we what? Labor in vain. So we've got to build according to God's way, not our own. We've got to live according to God's way, not our own. Is everybody okay? Good. Go to Ephesians 4. Don't be offended. Repent. Ephesians 4 and verse 25. Therefore, putting away what? Lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. You think if you grieve the Spirit, you'll give place to the devil? You betcha. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So do not grieve the Holy Spirit by becoming worldly. By becoming what? Worldly. He who is a friend of the world is a what? Enemy of God. Go to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38. Now, I shared some of this yesterday, but I'm going to share this this morning so that we can be brought up to date why there is this alert. And there is an alert going on. Ezekiel is one of the prophets. Ezekiel is the prophet of the Spirit. Isaiah is the prophet of the Son. Jeremiah is the prophet of the Father. And in these areas, Ezekiel begins. Now, the Bible tells us that the Spirit tells us things to come and so forth. And don't get me wrong. Yes, they're all prophets in the Spirit. But there are specific functions. And Ezekiel begins to speak about something when the Lord showed him. And this is about what's getting ready to happen right now, what state we are in, because there is an alert. And in Ezekiel 38, in verse 18, would you read it with me? And it will come to pass at the time when Gog means Russia. Everyone say Gog means Russia. When Gog comes against the land of Israel. Now again, I want to share with you about Israel. Israel is a promised land that the Lord promised to Abraham. It was known as Canaan, all right? And then it was also known as Palestine. But Israel is like about 300 miles by 80 miles. It's about the size of New Jersey, something like that. And in this, God promised, this was the promised land to Abraham. In fact, Moses took the Israelites out, and where did he bring them? To Canaan. So that land is promised to them. It's the land of God. It is called Israel. Has everybody got it? In other words, God promised Jacob that he would have Israel. In other words, his name is Israel. Jacob's name turned into Israel when he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. He had to break his leg. Say, tighten up. And in this, Israel is the promised land that was promised from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be Israel by God Almighty. And they are not to give up that land. They are to fight for that land. But one of the things that began to happen is every time Israel would rebel, they would get scattered. Every time they would rebel, they would get scattered. And they would lose the land. And you know, that's what happens also. People begin to rebel against God and they lose their position. They lose the land. You know, there's a fight over territory. There are territorial spirits that you're to fight against. Most believers don't even know how to spiritually fight. They get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord. Thank you. Can I have a Mercedes today and bless me and everything else? They have no idea what warfare is. They have no idea what a demon is or principalities or powers of darkness. They just go about their business. They don't want to talk about demons. They don't want to talk about devils. They don't want to talk about the powers of darkness. They're even afraid to say it's Satan. That's called fear. And the reason why they're fearful is because they got demons themselves. But they think they're okay. That's called deception. Because Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. So what happens is the enemy comes and he tries to draw, he begins to remove some of the reverence of God, and he causes children to fall into rebellion. And rebellion is witchcraft. And in this, what happens is then we lose territory because of rebellion. Somebody got it. And that's what happened with Israel. And right now we know that things are going on in Israel, all the world. I mean, come on, think about it. Here's the size of New Jersey, and the whole world is going to come against Israel and lose. Now let's read this a little further. Let's read 18 again. And it will come to pass at the time when God comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord, that my fury will show in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath, I have spoken. Surely in that day there will be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, all creeping things that are creeping on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Then the mountains will be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Even man's sword will be against his brother. And I will bring him to judgment with pestilence and bloodshed. I will rain down on him, on his troops, and on many peoples who are with him, flooding rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus I will magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. Then they shall know that I am the Lord. Now that is powerful. Now I want to back up just a little bit, okay? Go to verse 14. This is where he begins to prophesy this. He says, therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on the day when my people Israel dwell safely, you will know it. Now understand this, that first of all, Israel, everybody, all the Jews and everybody's being called home. All over the world. That's why the Berlin Wall came down and so forth. All over the world, people are being released, and Israel, the Jewish people, are being returned home. Not only the Jewish people being returned home, but God is calling his children home. And it says, then you will come from your place out of the far north. Out of the far north of Israel is Russia. You and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses and a great company and a mighty army. You will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It will be in the latter days. Are we in the latter days? that I will bring you against my land so that the nations may know me when I am hallowed in you, O Gog, before their eyes. So we know that this is getting ready to happen. In fact, if you think about it right now, it's not about a man that's in office right now, like even Obama's in office. It doesn't matter about the man. God's going to use whomever to fulfill prophecy. You know, and I'm not going to get in all the arenas of what's what, but in this, it doesn't matter because right now, Obama is being used, and whoever the president would be in that office right now, is being used to disarm us, just like Clinton administration was used to disarm us militarily. Are you listening? And if you think about it, Russia is constantly arming themselves. And Russia is the main provider of all terrorism. They sit back in silence. They provide the finances. They provide the weapons. They provide the knowledge. And they do it for the same ethic reasons that Islam has, to rule the world. Does everybody get it? Their purpose is to rule the world. And they provide information and knowledge to Iran because Iran is expected to have a nuclear capability within this coming year. So you know that if that's going to happen, and their purpose, and they've outright said it, their whole purpose is to destroy Israel. The Hamas and the terrorists are out to destroy Israel. That's it. And any Christian, or if you don't believe in following them, they want you dead. It's either their way or no head. And we know that the number 666 is a representation of the Antichrist, but it's also a representation of man, where the powers of darkness will infiltrate and totally and take over in the natural realm in the area of government, economic, and religion. And the religion will most likely be Islamic because they're the ones that love beheading. And in the Bible it says that white garments were given to those who were beheaded for the witness of Jesus Christ. So in this, we know that everything is facing Israel. Israel is not only the time clock of God, but it is also the witness of who the true God is. And in fact, your Bible came from Israel. Everything that you know about what's going on from God came from Israel. You know, King James did not write the Bible. Hello. The Holy Ghost did. Jesus did not speak in these, those, and nows. In fact, he spoke in Arabic. Now, in this we see that because all eyes are on Israel and everything is happening. And one of the things that Russia is providing, not only the weapons and the knowledge and everything else, but they're providing the propaganda. And in this propaganda, they are encouraging all underground silently because they want Israel. Israel is very rich in soil now. A desert turned rich. It's one of the main producers globally. It's the largest produce producer in the world. So God turned a desert into a wonderful garden. And we know that Russia is hurting in the area of food. And they also want control of all oil. They want control of all food. They want control of all things. So that everything comes underneath their authority and power. But because Iran is about to be nuclearized, Israel will most likely have to attack Iran. And the United States will have to acknowledge it. But like I said, why everyone else and everything else, my United States is being disarmed, other nations are being more armed. And that's the deception in our government. Because they can't see it through, they're blinded. But I believe that's just a part of fulfillment of prophecy. And when Israel attacks Iran, Russia will attack Israel. And in this, there'll be a heavy-duty war. There's going to be a lot of economic problems. All kinds of things are going to affect globally. And in this, somebody's going to arise with great wisdom, but it'll be worldly wisdom. And he will promote a 7-year treaty. And in this 7-year treaty will be the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. So, in other words, we are on alert right now to see what's going on. This can happen any moment. Do you understand that? Now, if Iran is going to be capable of nuclear weapons within a year, what do you think is going to happen in this next year? I'm not giving you absolutes, but I'm telling you probabilities. Nobody knows the exact day or hour. But we do know the seasons. We do know the seasons. We do know the times. We do know prophetically, because the Bible says that Jesus gave us the mysteries of God. And in these mysteries, we are being led by the Spirit. See, people are, you know, we have the discipleship program. People think you're coming there because they need to get off of drugs and alcohol. No, you're coming to fulfill the call. People are all messed up all over the place. They're coming into the body of Christ. They're not coming into the body of Christ because they're messed up. They're coming in because God is drawing them and calling them to fulfill their and prepare them to become soldiers in the body of Christ for this end time. It is essential that we stay on alert in every area, no matter what's going on. It is essential. So we are going to be on red alert, ready to go on red alert. Oh, did I say that right? Okay. Yellow alert, ready to go on red alert. Thank you. And in this, we must stay filled with the Spirit, sensitive to His leading, separated, sanctified, and getting ready to do whatever it takes. The Bible says, be ready in season and out. So the number one thing we got to constantly do is deny ourselves. It can't be my way, it must be God's way. Everything must be built according to His way and not our own anymore. That's over with. We must maintain the eternal purpose that God has granted us and protect the anointing of God that's in us. Is everybody okay? Everybody all right? Amen. Praise God. Let's go a little further. Go to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. And verse 8. For He said, surely they are My people, children who will not lie. So He became their Savior. In all their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity He redeemed them, and He bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and what? Grieved His Holy Spirit, so He what? Turned Himself against them as an enemy, and He fought against them. Do you see what grieving the Holy Spirit is about? I'm sharing with you, grieving the Holy Spirit can become an area where you are God's enemy. Actually, He becomes your enemy. And then this, He did this with Israel. He brought Israel through many afflictions because of their rebellion. He carried them. He visited them. He did miracle signs and wonders with them, yet they rebelled. And what happened? They got scattered. But again, right now, I want you to know that prophecy is being fulfilled by the return of all of them. And He's going to come and rescue them again. That's His promise. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Are you getting this? Go to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 14. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And that's what's going on right now. See, you can't get the things of the Spirit without being in the Spirit. He's the interpreter of all things of the Spirit, and He's the one that brings everything to us. And that's what separates religion from relationship. It's like God is causing His people to say, listen, you need My Spirit. You need My Spirit. My Spirit's the only one that's going to teach you and guide you. And you must have fellowship. Quit grieving My Spirit. Put rejecting My Spirit. Let My Spirit teach you. Let My Spirit guide you. Let My Spirit heal you. Let My Spirit perfect you. Let My Spirit correct you. When some people get correction, they run. And they run right into the hands of the devil. But this is what's going on right now, globally, all over. people are blinded. The Bible says that the God of this world blinds people. Go to Galatians 5. Let's start at 16. Verse 16. Is everybody there? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or desire or feel like. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are what? Not under the law of judgment. So that means we must be led by the Spirit, right? Go to Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are of God, these are what? Sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to receive the spirit of adoption, where we cry out, Abba, Father. Now understand this, that it is the Holy Spirit that is guiding us. It is the Holy Spirit that is teaching us. It is the Holy Spirit that's bringing the yellow to red alert right now. It is the Holy Spirit that's saying, listen, you got to go out and tell my people. It's the Holy Spirit that's saying, you got to be a witness now. It's the Holy Spirit that's saying, come out and be sanctified. It's the Holy Spirit that's saying, do whatever I ask you to do. It's the Holy Spirit. Go to Ezekiel 3. Yeah. Is everybody all right? Are we close? In verse 16, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. Now listen, your Israel is where you're located, where you live, where you work, where you play. That's your Israel. We know that there's another Israel, a land, a nation. But your Israel, your Jerusalem, is where you work, where you live, where you play, where you eat. Everywhere you go, everywhere you step your feet is your Israel. Has everybody got it? And he said, when I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, and his blood I will require on your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from his wickedness, from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you shall deliver your soul. Again, when a righteous man, is a righteous man a believer? Yes. When a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. In other words, when an individual breaks covenant, every treasure that he's had in heaven is removed. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, also you will have delivered your soul. Then the hand of the Lord was upon me there, and he said to me, arise, go out into the path, and there I shall talk with you, out into the plain. So I arose and went out into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, like the glory which I saw in the river Chebar. And I fell on my face, and the Spirit entered me and set me on my feet and spoke with me and said to me, go, shut yourself into your house. And you, O son of man, surely they will put ropes on you and bind you with them so that you cannot go out among them. I will make your tongue cling to the roof of your mouth so that you shall be mute and not be one to rebuke them, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with you, I will open your mouth, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, he who hears, let him hear, and he who refuses, let him refuse, for they are a rebellious house. Now, I want you to understand right now that the United States is a rebellious house right now. It's in rebellion. The Bible says a house divided cannot stand. But I really believe that there's going to be a great movement that's already started already of God to bring more unity into the body. But it's amazing to me the deception. And in this scripture right here, and there's another scripture that says, even if you agree with their practices, the blood is still on your hand. But it's amazing to me that the truth is not being declared enough in the body, because in true reality, not because of a man's color or a man's heritage or anything, they should have not voted for Obama. Why? Because he's a promoter of abortion. And anybody who's done that has blood on their hands. Do you understand? It's not about anything else. See, we're not to look at anything about where an individual came from or what's what. We're to look at their ethics according to God, and that's that. So anybody who voted for that man has blood on their hands and don't even know it. Why? Because he's a promoter of abortion. In fact, he tried to use the taxes from this country to send it over nations to pay for their abortions. Now, is that a man that's going to stand right before God? Certainly not. It doesn't matter who. Do you understand? But it's amazing the deception, even in the body of Christ, that will put a man in office that promotes abortion. Total deception. But praise God, for prophecy is being fulfilled. And we're getting closer to go home. That's all I can say. But in this, we've got to preach the gospel to all nations. See, the faster you preach the gospel to all nations, you don't have to worry about your debts no more. But there's a time coming very shortly where there'll be no ministry to the body of Christ. The only ministry will be done is to the lost. Because there'll be unity in the body of Christ. There'll be ministry to the lost. There'll be rescuing the lost. You'll be dropping everything. Your jobs won't be a concern anymore, because you're going to know, and you're going to know. And that 7-year treaty, I truly believe, is going to happen in our sight. We're going to see it. We don't want to sin against the Spirit. We don't want to grieve the Spirit. We don't want to quench the Spirit. We want to be a part of the fulfilling of prophecy, what God is doing right now. Is everybody okay? Oh, hallelujah. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 8. And the angel of the church in Samaria write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews or Christians and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is going about to throw some of us into bondage or prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. That's for me and you right now. See, even right now, there's a greater persecution coming, but the church is being persecuted right now. Do you know that even right now they're trying to get God out of everything? Socialism is starting to come about. Government is starting to take over more and more. People are going to the government more than they ever have. Listen, I'm not against some help. But see, the government wants to put people into bondage. Do you understand? And they don't even know what they're doing. So now they're going to be taking all kinds of money to give out in other areas that are going to promote laziness instead of work. They're going to promote laziness and bondage instead of work. In fact, some of this money won't even be able to get out to some people till 2010 or 12. But they're trying to get something out right away. But it's not going to reach many of them in time. But because they're of the world, many people are going to die, commit suicide and so forth, because of the lack of relationship with Christ. So you will be persecuted. You are going through persecution right now. It may seem a little mild and sometimes a little struggle certain days. People are losing their jobs because of their witness of Christ and so forth. You may be more qualified in an area, but because of the presence of God in your life, They may not like you. They don't like what you stand for because you don't laugh at their jokes. They don't like what you stand for because you stand for ethics of Christ. But I'm telling you, God will bless you, regardless of what. In 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to close here. In verse 4, would you read it with me? 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And that's where we're at. We're on alert right now. Be alert. Be constant, ready, in season and out. Keep your eyes, ears, and heart open what the Spirit is saying. Be ready to move when you need to move. Be ready to fight when you need to fight. Be ready to rest when you need to rest. Everything is essential right now. We are on alert. You're going to see that seven. You're going to see all of these things come to pass. And that 7-year treaty signed. And then there won't be any time for ministry to the body. It'll be ministry to the lost. So stay filled with your oil. Amen. And stay in position. Father, we give you all glory, honor, and praise, and we thank you. We thank you for your mercies, your grace, and your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for even considering us to be at this time and season to see your hand and the return of the Christ, the King, the Anointed One. Lord, we are awesomely waiting for you. Lord, tell us what you want us to do. Position us, establish us. Empower us with boldness and revelation, allowing us to see things all the way through before decisions are made. I pray a blessing over each and every one here today, Lord, and prepare our hearts for communion. In Jesus' name.